Welcome to The Creepy Tales, a spooky podcast adventure with Penguin Teen. I'm your host, Felicity, and for five episodes, we've invited some of Penguin Teen's most beloved authors to take a walk on the wild side, go down a darkened road, light up their pumpkin carving, and get creepy with us. We've challenged our authors to write a 500-word creepy tale with our first author, Ali Condie, who is this year celebrating the 10th anniversary of her New York Times best-selling Match series. She'll be then followed by Isabel Sterling, author of the paranormal duology These Witches Don't Burn, which has been described as a page-turning suspense, bittersweet romance, shocking twists, and full of tragic turns. And to complete the story, Sasha Lawrence, whose debut novel, A Wicked Magic, came out earlier this year and has been called a cinematic page-ripping debut. First of all, let's welcome our authors to the show.
Hi.
Hey! So our authors were provided with a visual prompt and single word to inspire the story, and everyone submitted their contributions to Penguin Teen. So for both Ali and Isabel, this will be the first time hearing the story as it unfolds after they're reading their segment. The story prompt is The Woods, and Ali, I invite you to lead us off.
A night in the woods looked like something you could warm your hands by, which was what drew her to it. She had been walking for a long time on the main road. She had tried not to give even a furtive glance into the trees or to pay any attention to their dark, curving branches, the promises of hidden things within their trunks or at their roots. But she was growing cold, and she was very tired. Just that far and no farther, she told herself, stepping into the heavy green of the wood toward that gold, gold light. The leaves underfoot were crisp and whispered. Her hair lifted in a breeze that made her shiver, walk more quickly toward the golden space in the trees. As she came closer, she saw a fallen trunk across the path, arranged in front of the light like a chair drawn up to a hearth. She sat down with a sigh, realizing as she did that what she thought was a small fire, a place of warmth, was just the sun through a hole in the forest canopy. Still, she put out her hands, let the light play across them, took a moment to rest her weary feet. There was still so far to go. If you can make it in 5 days, you might be in time, the apothecary had said, pressing the vial into her hand. If you make it in 4, you will likely be in time. If you make it in 3, you will be in time. But she had had no horse, no money to hire one, no cart, no friends who were any wealthier than she, and she was in a strange town besides. It had taken everything she had to buy the vial and more besides. The apothecary had taken pity on her and sketched her a map. Stay on the lane, he said. If you see anyone, duck out of sight, but don't go too far into the woods. They always seem to say that. She had run much of the first day at a careful trot, full of hope, the vial in her pocket, pausing only to rest for a few minutes or to drink from the water pouch slung over her back. When night came, she had turned to walking. The second day, she had kept a steady pace, though her bones had seemed to grind against each other in tiredness, and her muscles seemed to want to let her know where exactly they were in her body. And now it was the third day. And here she was resting, wandering off into the woods after a fire that was not a fire. It's all right, she said out loud as she stood, her voice tired and creaky from disuse these past few days. No harm done. The light is just that, light. The trees are just the trees. The forest is just a forest. No, it's not, said a voice behind her.
The voice whispered across her skin like the skittering of dead leaves across hardened earth. Body frozen, she tried to convince herself it was merely a trick of her tired mind, a bit of wind wandering through the trees. She had been careful. She hadn't seen another soul in days. I'm alone. There's no one there. Yet even as the words left her lips, she didn't believe them. She was too afraid to turn around, but the apothecary's warning echoed louder than the strange voice. If you make it in 3, you will be in time. She couldn't risk the delay. Not if you wanted Delia to survive. Deny me all you like, but the truth remains, the voice said again, louder this time, closer. A wicked chill spread down her spine, icy tendrils curling around her ribs. The forest is not just a forest, and you are not welcome here. I'm sorry. Her voice shook, and she touched the vial through her pocket. She had to get back. She had to hurry. I didn't mean to intrude. I'll leave. She knew no other way back to the main path. So she sucked in a breath and forced herself to turn away from the light. At first, she saw nothing but twisting branches overhead. Relief washed through her. The voice had been nothing but the imaginings of an exhausted mind. But as her eyes adjusted to the dimness, something stepped forward from the shadows. The creature towered over her, human in shape, yet stretched like taffy pulled to the point of ripping. It was all long arms and spindly legs holding up a too large head. Pale green skin stretched tight across an angular face, and its milky white, unblinking eyes were the size of fists. Leaving a forest that is not a forest isn't as simple as walking away. The creature tilted its head to the side. The earth demands an offering. Anything. The word left her lips faster than her mind could ask proper questions. What was this creature? What kind of offering did it intend to take? Blood or bone or dreams or desires? But it was too late. Already the creature smiled at her, pointed teeth glinting in the small light she had mistaken for a fire. Curse her cold fingers. Curse the light for tricking her so. Curse the dying girl who held her heart, whose future rested on the vial tucked safely in her pocket. She was still too far from home. Even if the creature released her without delay, she might not make it. If you make it in 4, you will likely be in time. What is it you want? She asked when the silence grew too loud. The creature's smile filled 2/3 of its face, but it still didn't answer. Well? In a blur of movement, the creature wrapped long fingers around her throat and held tight. You, stranger, have a choice to make.
Its flesh was hard and cold, unwarmed by that golden pool of sun. Its other hand snaked into her pocket and clinked where it hit glass. The vial. Take my place. I will bring it to her in time, the creature said. Or, her voice rasped against the pressure on her throat. It tapped its fingers against the glass. Clink, clink, clink. The amber liquid she had paid the apothecary so dearly for swirled within. The girl understood. Her mind's eye held Dahlia as she'd seen her last. Eyes sunken and dulled with illness, the blanket tucked up under her chin, and still she'd shivered. Dahlia, who the girl loved, who she had promised to save. 5 days, she ground out. No more. The creature's grip loosened. The girl collapsed to the forest floor. The pain was instantaneous. A great lightning bolt striking through her, a shattering that broke every nerve. Her jaw cracked as her lips stretched, the roots of her teeth grinding against the bone they were buried in. Her vision clouded as her eyes swelled until they felt big as eggs, yolks swimming in the jellied whites. Her limbs fractured, bones splintered, muscles stretched. The curves of her body, the flare of her hips that the dying girl had once loved to run her fingers over, were gone, even to a twig-like flatness as her body strained toward the branches of the shadowed canopy. The pain ebbed. She looked down. Her lengthened calves now stuck out from beneath a skirt that would have been long enough for traveling moments before. Her forearms, once muscled, she could churn butter all day, were now thin like the sinew left on a chicken leg cleaned of meat. Where the forest shadows fell upon her, her skin was an awful pallid green, the pale tinge of death. But where that yellow sun fell on her, the color shifted, the green of new leaves. The sharpened points of her knees carved tracks into the dirt as she crawled back to the pool of golden warmth and found the strength to stand. On her feet, she swayed. Her bones had gone brittle, like the thin sticks used for kindling, and her head felt bloated and too large. Before her stood some dark-eyed boy, with hair the color of sand. He looked strange and soft, fleshy, pinkish, small by comparison to her, but not delicate. In his hand, he held a vial. If you can make it in 5 days, you might be in time, said the creature that had been the girl. If you make it in 4, you will likely be in time. If you make it in 3, you will be in time. The creature didn't know why it said it. It just did. Somewhere, a girl lay in a bed, shivering. But that girl was so far from this pool of golden light, from this cold wood, from this green prison.
Ta-da!
Oh my God!
The end.
Well, I have so many questions to ask, but oh, that ending, Sasha. Oh my God, just creepy and eerie and amazing. But I want to go back to the start. And Ali, how you set this all up with that beautiful rhyme of like the, you know, in 5 days and 3 days and two, sorry, in three and four and three, what came first?
Oh, I don't know. I was just trying to think, you know, in a fairy tale, and I love Soman Chainani's School for Good and Evil. It's very different from this, but I thought there's always, you know, a problem and there's always a time limit on it. And so I was kind of thinking about that, but I'm just blown away by what Isabel and Sasha did with this.
That was so much, that was so cool.
Well, I think that's it's so much what happens in there is like the, each of you has to carry a different weight through the story. And obviously you set it up so beautifully. Isabel, you kind of had to take what was put out in front of you and kind of decide what you wanted to work with. Was there anything that you kind of decided to start first and didn't do? Or was it just straight away you knew where this was going, you knew what was going
to
happen?
It was trickier than I thought it was going to be. I am usually I'm not much of a short story writer typically. So I was like, oh, how do I do this mm-hmm. without 90,000 words? So I definitely picked up on the timeline. I knew that I had to continue through and be important. And I wanted to create some really bizarre creature. And then I felt bad for Sasha because I was like, I had no idea where it was going to go. So I was like, I am stuck at this point. So it's a great time to pass it along. And I'm so thrilled with how it turned out. It's so cool.
And Sasha, obviously, like, wow. First of all, how cruel. I was like, this is great. They're going to
it's
escape.
It's a scary
She's
story.
I know. I don't understand why I asked you all my scary stories now, because this poor girl is now stuck in this wood.
Yeah. I mean, to be frank, I don't really, I don't read a lot of horror. I hate watching scary movies. And I don't really think of myself as like a writer of horror. So when I was asked to do this, I was like, skeptical. And I was really glad that I didn't get the first or second sections because I don't know what I like. Really, I just had to sort of like clean up the ending basically. So I feel like I had a much easier job than Allie and Isabel did. But I basically was like, you know, we're in a wood. It's a scary story. Like, she can't get out of there alive, right? That's how this works.
I mean, I have to ask Allie, did you think she was going to get out of there alive when you started the story?
Like, I'm sort of naive and I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, so I totally
love that ending because I would never have thought of it. But
I mean, chills when I heard that. And the middle part was so good, how she said, how Isabel said, the creature was stretched out like taffy, like I can't stop thinking about that line. And then at the end I thought, mm-hmm. oh good, now that she's the creature, her legs are super long, so she'll get there really fast. So I love that. I was so wrong because that ending was perfect. That was so great.
And as soon as you said her head, the head was the wrong size, I'm like, oh no, oh no, no, no. It's like, it's not going to go well for anybody now.
I mean, it went well for the boy. Let's not forget about him.
Yeah, true.
You know.
True. And then I'm like, the poor next person who's going to come to that wood. Everyone's, I can just see this being this fairy tale that continues forever. Well, I think all three of you said it. You, this is not short stories and not what you typically write, and horror really is not what you typically write. Was it freeing? I'll start with Ali to kind of try something like this, or were you stressed?
No, it was actually great. And Halloween is so fun and it feels so spooky. And I just loved that I knew two really great writers were coming after me to clean up my mess. So, no, I was pretty excited from the start. Like, I felt like I had the easy job.
Yeah. And Isabel, the same question for you.
Yeah, well, and it's so funny that Sasha had said she felt she had the easiest of the three sections because I felt the same way. I was like, I didn't have to like set the tone and I didn't have to figure out how it ended. So I was like, I can just sail through this middle part. And so that part, that component of it made it fun because I could just like create problems and not have to solve them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also say it went like a lot I guess I'm just used to writing longer stuff, but I thought this would take me like a million years to complete. And it didn't.
Go, I was gonna say, go ahead. I interrupted.
Oh, sorry. It was just, it went a lot quicker than I thought. And as someone who's not used to writing short fiction, it was actually like very freeing and fun. And it made me like, want to do that kind of thing more often.
I mean, look, I'm not saying I've got all your numbers now for any of this, anytime I need this, but I do know that I have authors on tap.
No, I would like to meet these guys again. That was so fun. Yeah, that was amazing. I think it was so cool to see something, well, for me at least, you guys are great writers, that become more than the sum of its parts would have been on my own, if that makes sense at all. But
no, it absolutely does. I do, and I feel like I'm going to get a call from editorial soon about why are my authors not working on their books right now, Felicity? thank you all so much for joining us. I want to thank Ali Condy, I want to thank Isabel Sterling, and I want to thank Sasha Lawrence for all coming together to write this magnificent story called The Woods.
Thank you for giving us the chance, Felicity.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Yeah, and thanks to Ali and Isabel for contributing such great stuff.
Amazing. Tomorrow's authors joining us for their creepy tales will be Natalie May, Katie Aleander, and Crystal Sutherland. Be sure to read with the lights on. Until then.